Tonight we'd like to thank you for coming along to our gospel meeting. And we trust if you're not saved that you've come with a desire to know the Savior. And the Lord is willing to save. So maybe tonight you'll get saved and you'll thank God for all eternity for the Chaplain Valley Conference. I'd like to read with you from the book of Isaiah on chapter 55. The book of Isaiah and chapter 55. And I'd like to read in from verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now we trust our God to bless to each heart the reading of his gracious word. I sat here this afternoon and thought about the gospel and thought about who God saves, and to think of the greatness of his salvation and the joys of his salvation and the joys of heaven and home. And this verse came to me as I thought. He said, everyone that thirsteth. And the more I sat there and thought about it, I thought of the scope of God's salvation. You know, we might have it narrowed down to just a certain kind of people of who God will save. But you know, tonight we can honestly say there's salvation for the boy or the girl that's been raised in a Christian home. There's salvation for you tonight. There's salvation for the churchgoer tonight. Someone that's went to church and not saved, there's salvation for you. But you know, as I sat there this afternoon and thought it over, you know, I thank God tonight there's salvation for the drug addict. And there's salvation for the drunkard. There's salvation for the man over in prison tonight. Salvation for you tonight here in our meeting as well. Each and every one. The more I thought about it, the more I marveled at the grace of God and who he will save. And I marveled more who he does save. And most of all, I marveled that I was saved myself and on my way to heaven and home. My tonight, friend, this gospel goes out to you. I know this gospel is just tailored just to meet your need. It really is. And if there's one here tonight and you're not saved, you're the one that Christ died for. You're the one he came to save. He said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't just come to seek you. He came to save you. And he came to set you free. And my, tonight you can know salvation from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. Wonderful to think, you know. Now, I didn't get saved with the dread of hell on my mind. I knew little or nothing about the Bible. So I knew there was a place called hell, and I knew I was going there, and that's about all I knew about it. But you know, I tell you, I heard of a place called heaven. A place called heaven. And that was a long time ago, because you know, to the funerals I went to, they said everybody went to heaven. And you know, I sat there as a boy, and I thought, my, it'd be a wonderful place to go. To go to heaven. And I kept thinking that. And you know, when I went to that gospel meeting, I thought of heaven. A wonderful place to go. And friend, tonight I'm going to ask you, are you on your way to heaven? I'd like to meet you there. Really would. Like to meet you in heaven. And you know, to think there isn't one soul here tonight that couldn't be there. Not one. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for sin. Someone said one time, I listened to them, I enjoy listening to the gospel, whether it's just Prophet Burton on the study seat or somebody preaching it. Said, you know, he paid my ticket for heaven. I thank God, you know. He paid mine too. And I'm on my way to glory tonight through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at a place called Calvary. And tonight, he'd like to stay here. And there you oftentimes wonder. I can remember, I was just raised down here at Dunchurch, just a few miles away, not very far, maybe 10 miles down the road. And I knew some people were going to heaven. And I wondered, how do you get this? How do you get it? How do you get this ticket for heaven? How much does it cost? And how do I get it? But you know, my Bible here, open before me tonight like yours is, it tells the way. He said, incline your ear. Give me your ear, friend. Incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. It doesn't cost a penny. You know, someone said about God's salvation, you're too poor to pay, and he's too rich to receive. He provided salvation for all mankind at such an infinite cost. It cost him his own son to die upon our Calvary's cross to purchase salvation for me. And he doesn't give it to me through money and through Christ. He just give it to me if I listen with an abiding result. And you know, when the night God saved me, you know, someone said today about being saved as many years as they were in their sins. Well, I'm very close, within a month or two, of being saved as long as I was in my sins. And you know, I listened to the gospel down here in the little village of Dunchurch. I know God saved me because I listened to the preacher. I listened to what he had to say. I listened when he told the way of salvation. And I followed him step by step. And you know, when he finished, I was saved on my way to heaven and home. So tonight, friend, you get it through listening. Listening to God's word. He said, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul will live. But you know, it's to listen. And I couldn't help but think of this. I wondered, how many people in the world today want to listen? Really to listen. You say, I'm listening to you. But you know, you just think somebody pulled the damper and it went straight through. So right on going. That's the problem. You see, the Lord said, you know, we all got our own thoughts, haven't we?
But you know, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. We get it in his way. It's God's salvation, and it's in God's way that it really comes. And if you intend to be saved today, it's going to be in God's way. Not going to be your way. Not going to be according to your thoughts. You know, so many, when they get saved, I love to listen to their expression. You know, when they first get saved. Was it my brother Frank down here said, you know, he could talk about it tonight for 40 minutes, or maybe even an hour. But the night he got saved, he could tell it in 2 minutes. And I love to hear them tell that 2 minutes. I really do. My, you know, it's a joy. Here just a little while ago, a young man, I said to a teenager, and you know, somehow they get coming out to the gospel, and you're in the gospel as well, you know, your heart just moves out to them. And this young man, I would judge, he's maybe about 15 or so, and he came to the door of the tent, and he just stopped and he looked me right in the eye, and I wondered what he was going to say. He said, you know, Mr. Moon, he said, tonight was the night. And he threw his arms around my neck. I thought, well, thank God, tonight was the night. He listened. He listened to the gospel. And in listening, he believed the gospel. I wonder tonight, now this has been mentioned two or three times at the conference, Christ died for the ungodly. I wonder tonight, as you think of a verse like that, Christ died for the ungodly. Who really is that person? You think about it. Who is that that person that's called ungodly? Is it the one beside you? Is it the person behind you? Is it your neighbor down the street? Or would that person be wearing your shoes? You think about it. He said, incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear. And your soul shall live. Your soul shall live. Wonderful thing tonight. In such simplicity. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My and all, he said, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. So as I say, I knew little or nothing about the Bible. But when I listened to those men preach, and they told that if I believed that message, I'd have everlasting life. You know, a few other people tried to tell me I didn't have everlasting life. But it didn't jar me none. God in heaven told me I had it. And I didn't worry about what anybody else said either. And I don't worry about it tonight either. And you don't need to worry about it either. If you take God at his word tonight, you too can have everlasting life. You too can be sure of heaven and home for all eternity. And then I noticed this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I enjoy here as I look at verse number 4. He said, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. You know, I say for 33 years I served sin and Satan well. But in February the 26th of 1960, I changed masters. And I believe there's a lot of people would like to go to heaven, but they don't want to change masters. That's a big problem, isn't it? They love sin as their master, and they want to keep them as their master. But tonight, if you want to keep sin as your master, you'd have to say you're going with them, and the consequences is at the end of the road. Why, you know what?
I can remember when those two men, Brother Mr. Stibbs was mentioning, or Brother Stan Sims, and really and truly, that they were soul winners. There wasn't a question of honor. And when they preached the gospel, they preached to see souls saved. And I thank God for every man that does preach the gospel to see souls saved. And when those two men preached about sin, I'll tell you what went across my mind. I thought, mister, never mind preaching about sin. I know all about it. Just tell me how to get out of the mess. Just tell me how to get out of it. That's what I want to know. How do I get out of this business of sin? I was fed up with it. And I cannot understand anyone loving sin to want to stay in it. I can't. You know what? I know you hear this said many times, you can't have the best of two worlds, but I can't agree with that. I believe with all my heart and soul tonight, I have the best of two worlds. I really do. I have the best of two worlds. I have heaven at the end of the journey. And in this world down here below, I thank God to be a Christian. It's the best life I've ever known. It really is. And you know, not only the best life for myself, but to tell it out to others and to see them enjoy the same salvation as I enjoy. But you know, tonight, I trust this will not be your experience tonight, that you'd like to keep sin as your master. Because if you want to keep sin as your master, you do not want to get saved. No. And if you like your life like it is, you don't want God's salvation. No. Because He'll ruin the whole thing on you. He really will. He'll ruin it all. When Christ comes in, He changes lives. He really does. And you know, I enjoy the lives that I saw, the homes I saw change. A man and his wife, this one dear sister told us after a while, she said, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could see him. And she said, he wouldn't trust me no farther. Yeah. That's the ways of the world. God's salvation come in that home. And the husband said, away you go. Go on into town with the others and enjoy yourself. She said to my wife, he wouldn't have said that a little while ago. He wouldn't have said that a little while ago. Lives changed as a result of the gospel. Tonight, friends, he'd like to be your savior. But he wants to be your master as well. That you might serve him while time lasts, and then it's eternity. You know what he said here as well? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know, many of our offers in our newspapers and advertisements and so on, they got a little time limit on them. You know, they offer something for free. But you know, they tell you the hour you have to be at the store to get it. And they tell you what you got to do to get it. So really, they don't give much away, do they? It comes right down to a time. Well, you know, this salvation that we offer tonight will not always be offered. And that's the greatest dread I have. Is that day when it won't be anymore. And I'm sure tonight in my audience, there are parents tonight who would give everything they owned to know their children were all safe. To know they were all set free from the penalty of sin. To know they were all going to be in heaven.
But you know, we can't pay for it, can we? We can only pray for them and pray that God will bless His Word and will save them. I've preached a lot with a man. He has two sons. One is saved and the other is not. And he's a fine, upstanding man, and he's not saved. I went to his grandfather's funeral, and you know, as I was standing there by the casket, and this young man came up beside me, and he said, "Mr. Moore," he said, "I am Tim." Well, I don't know what I was expecting to see, I really don't. But I looked at him, as fine a looking young man as you'd want to meet. But he's not saved. And I've heard his dad say many, many times, "If giving my life would see Tim saved, I'd gladly give it." But he's not saved. Maybe tonight in our audience, there's a boy or a girl, and your parents are going home to heaven, and you're not saved. And one of these days, the shout is going to be given. And they're going up. And that day for you will have ended. And you'll have missed it. Whether it's been by an hour, whether it's by a week, or whether it's by years, if you miss God's salvation, you miss heaven. And you've missed it forever. That's what makes it so solemn to think about. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. He said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto our God." He said, "For He will abundantly pardon." If you'd like a pardon tonight, friend, for all your sins, He's the one who will pardon all your sins. He's the one who will forgive all your sins. He's the one who will read, that you will be able through Him to read your title here to mansions in the sky. He's the one, friend, and only one, the only Savior of the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you intend to go to heaven, you must have Christ as your Savior. You may have read the Bible from cover to cover. You may have repeated verses, and you may have even repeated chapters in Sunday school. But if there's never been a time in your life that you accepted Christ as your Savior, you're not on your way to heaven and home tonight. And we'd like to see you saved. And we'd like to see you saved tonight. What a joy and gladness it would be. You'd never forget this conference. You never would. It would be the sweetest place on earth to you if tonight you came to know the Savior. My, to think, He gave His all to set you free. I've oftentimes thought, if God had paid $1 million for each one of us, it would have been a great price, wouldn't it? But that's not a snap of your fingers compared to what He paid. I know when we think of the work of the cross, we think of mankind taking that Roman scourge and coming down on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. Till the Bible says his back looked like a plowed field. We think of them as they pulled the hair from the whiskers from his face. We think of that. We think of them spitting in his face. We think of them nailing him to a cross. But my Bible says that from the sixth hour to the ninth, there was darkness over all the land. And it was in those three dark, lonely hours there upon the cross that a holy God punished the Lord Jesus Christ on account of my sin. That's the place that sin was paid for, was in the hours of darkness at a place called Calvary. And you know tonight, friend, I know I don't understand, and I know I'll never understand what my Savior passed through in the hours of darkness. Only those that go down to hell and to the lake of fire will understand what He went through. They'll know it experimentally. But tonight, dear soul, He paid it all for thee. I read a little story, and I'll tell it to you when this all closed. This dear man went into an art gallery to look through at the pictures on the wall and the paintings. And he came to this one where this artist, in his idea, had painted a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross with a crown of thorns upon his head and nails driven through his hands and feet. And there, as he painted that picture, to the best of his ability, to the sufferings that the Savior went through, and across the top was written in these letters, "All this have I done for thee. What hast thou done for me?" And that man stood there that day, and he looked at that. Looked at that picture upon the cross, and he thought of the sufferings of the man hanging upon the cross.